And be not amazed that a cripple was raised. It's through Jesus we do great things. Great things are in store for the child.
Friday. Yeah, how about that? All the way to the end of another week of Drive Time on this, the 25th day of September in the year of our Lord 2020. And we have had a day with mostly rain, but the rain is pretty much headed out. We'll take a look at that in just a moment. Right now, there, give you a little heads up on I-26. There's a wreck, and they were saying it was going to clear about 7, but I'm showing that it might be trying to clear now. They're removing it as far as the icon of the accident. However, it is still at a standstill. So when you come under Fanning Bridge Road, or over the top of it there, headed towards Asheville, get prepared to stop before you even get to the airport exit there at 280. And it stays that way almost along Shoals Road. But if they have opened the lanes back up, hopefully we'll see that dissipate. But right now, not happening. The other area that we also saw was Malfunction Junction was having some issues, and it still is coming off of 40. And on the 26th, they head towards Brevard Road. Real slow going there. We are no longer showing that they are doing that emergency pothole repair there, even though right in that area is slow moving. That is actually showing as being removed. So hopefully they did get that cleared up this afternoon sometime. So other than that, was a pretty long deal, but needed, pretty needed. So let's take a look here. Let's back way out. Yeah, we're looking at Sweeten Creek like we normally see in the same areas there. And then Henderson County, I-26 looks good. Polk County, I-26 looks good into Columbus. And looks like the where the Blue Ridge Mall is, you know, it's slow, but it's behaving itself more so than normal. So that's good news. And then 64 out to the Pisgah Forest Light there, where we got a little backup. But everything else seems to be moving okay. And the big spot is right there. And it is getting, okay, I'm watching it shrink, the stoppage. But it's going to take a while. I think the accident has cleared. And probably in the next 10 minutes, we just might see that pick back up. I'll keep looking at it. And we'll see. All right, let's just kind of take a look here. And some spotty rain showers. Nothing significant. West of Brevard, mostly it's in the Pisgah National Forest. So not a big deal. In fact, it's way up there on the Blue Ridge Parkway. A couple spots just near the Pisgah Forest area there. Not anything to write home about. All the big rains have gone to the south and to the east of us. Montreat, you're seeing a few little showers south of Lake Lure, a few little showers, but some heavy duty thunderstorms and big time cells are running down into the Pageland, Jefferson area and in the Bethune area of South Carolina. We're looking at it into McCall and coming up into North Carolina, getting into the eastern parts of the state there. We're looking at, boy, I tell you what, when it's dark like that, it's hard to read those places. Salemburg is under a heavy cell right now, and there's a heavy cell just south of Goldsboro. And we're looking at, looks like, boy, I tell you what, the truth, I cannot read that for nothing. So I don't know what that is, but anyhow, some heavy stuff. Wilmington down into Shalott and North Myrtle Beach, and then off into the ocean. So pushing out, and it looks like behind it we have just a few little residual rain spottiness. And then the official forecast for our area, starting with the Brevard area. It well, okay, hang in there. The website decided to hang up. Let's try that again. There, no, this page isn't working, you think? Now it's working. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. There we go. All right. This afternoon, we saw it start to clear. It was more of an event this morning. The entire event outside the newsroom here was 2.38 inches. 0.92 of that fell before midnight yesterday. The 1.4, 1 or 2 inches fell today. So overall, we did get to almost 2.5 inches here, over 2.25. So that's a good amount of rainfall. Tonight, a chance of maybe some rain or showers between 10 and 1 a.m. And then they're going to get patchy fog. So you could have fog in the morning. Could be some areas before 11 a.m. Otherwise, it's going to turn partly sunny and get a high near about 75. So if we can get some cloud cover to go away and break through the sun, it'll turn out to be a nice Saturday. Partly cloudy Saturday night, low around 58. Sunday, 30% chance of some showers, mainly after 5. Again, a partly sunny day, so we might eke out a good weekend and Sunday to enjoy the Lord's Day. Sunday night, 30% chance of showers, mainly before 7 p.m., low around 59. Monday, we have a 50% chance, high back up, with partly sunny skies to 74. It's Monday night and Tuesday that in that time frame somewhere, depending on the speed of things, we'll watch. A cold front will push through probably sometime during the night into the morning hours, but we'll see. 60% chance on Monday night, 50% chance Tuesday morning, and then turning partly sunny with a high only near 70 instead of 74. And then dropping down Tuesday night to 32, with Wednesday being mostly sunny and a high of only 68, dropping down into the 40s Wednesday night and Thursday night, with highs on Thursday and Friday, again, in the low to mid 60s. So another return of what we saw not too long ago. And so we're looking forward to that as well. Good time of the year to see things change. Real quick, let me just take a few camera views. And Pelham Road moving. It's heavy traffic, but it's moving. Once you get just a little bit past it, it picks up pretty good. No issues. The airport exit, smooth sailing. We don't see any problems there. And we don't see any problems up in Spartanburg either. Let's see here. We are looking at some things that I wanted to check before we go any further. Let's just one more time look at the traffic map. I'll tell you what, it's still kind of cut loose. They may have the accident not as clear as they think they do, but it's still, I'd avoid that area if you can for right now. Well, let's say thank you to some folks today, and then I want to talk about this a little bit, because of the dual sponsorship of today that we have here, AM720 WGCR and 94.9 in the Anchor Baptist Broadcasting Network, which includes WGCR.net, the preaching, music, and the video channels, is being sponsored by the Harvest Time Broadcast in honor of the day that Brother Stennett Ballou surrendered to preach. And we say thank you to the Harvest Time Broadcast for sponsoring the AM signal and the FM and the network today, and honoring the day that Brother Stennett Ballou was called to preach. And the Harvest Time radio broadcast, if you remember back on May the 31st of last year, it was a Friday. The Dr. Ballou went home to be with the Lord, and the family, in talking with the Concord Baptist Church, decided to continue with the Harvest Time broadcast ministry that Dr. Ballou had been doing for 17 years. All the broadcasts that he had done in that time had been preserved on CD, and they are going to be backed up into the digital format. And so they began June the 16th airing previous recordings They also still have his books and CDs and things that are on his the Harvest Time Broadcast website. So we just wanted to honor him today and say you can listen through the FM if you're in the FM signal in the evening, or through the website or the app at 8:30. It's 8:30 Monday through Friday, the Harvest Time radio broadcast. Now, that broadcast has been a blessing to a lot of folks, and there's a lot of things that, and I get nostalgic sometimes, and I go back and listen to where I was when I was working the radio station in the beginning. When I started working, I worked on weekends, and I taught in the Christian school, and I filled in when, because there were times like during the summer and vacations and things, or holidays where you could do a holiday, and the holidays were fun over at the other station when we had the two stations, because you had to split out broadcasts, and it was a lot more unique to do it on that old board, but I used to enjoy that kind of thing a lot. And then when I went to doing a everyday shift, it was at the new station on the new board. But I remember back in those days that there are programs that we no longer listen to because they're no longer aired. But I remember the Gospel Hour being at 11, and it was during that time that I would listen to Oliver B. Green, and I would eat my lunch, because Swap Shop is a talking program, and it's not polite to eat and talk at the same time. And 11:30 to 12, you've got talking in between and music and things you're doing. So it was a good time to eat lunch. It was between 11 and 11:25, that hour it was on. And I believe back then, there was at 1 o'clock, it was I can hear him, I can see him, and I know his name just as sure as I know my own. But hallelujah, Brother Leo Worley, there we go, was the broadcast and there, and just 1 or 1:30, somewhere in there. And there was a 1 o'clock and a 1:30. They were 15-minute broadcasts with music in between. And just a lot of memories of where things used to be. Some programs are right where they were. 9 o'clock, the Bright Spot Hour, hasn't changed. But some others have. Sounds from Sinai still plays, and we love to hear Brother Rudy. Time changed, but everything else is the same. So, but we are thrilled that we get to continue with the Harvest Time radio broadcast, and appreciate them reminding us of Dr. Ballou and his ministry. Of course, he had a ministry with Share-a-thon, and we certainly, he went home with the Lord in May of 2019. We got to hear him February of 2019. So, again, God has been so good, and we are so appreciative of that. Let me jump back to the day book before I seg that away and say happy birthday wishes going out to Betty Summey. Miss Betty, I hope you've had a wonderful day today and have enjoyed your birthday. And right down here where I live, Miss Lois Bain turned 92 years young today. Miss Lois, I pray you've had a wonderful, wonderful day today. The Lord bless you on your special day. Miss Emma Norris turned 17 today. Happy, happy birthday. Pray it was a great day. And Mr. Gene Coates, this would be Brian Coates' grandpa, had a birthday today. Pray you had a wonderful, wonderful day. No anniversaries on the book. The station observed 57 to 42 with some 1.8 inches of rain. Today we had a low of 55 and a high of 60. That's it. We were at 5 degrees swing. That's all we were able to muster here today. So that was interesting all by itself. And it was a dreary day. I never saw the sun come out, and I still haven't seen it come out. But praise the Lord, we weren't supposed to be out in it anyhow. We've had broadcasts and things to do, so we've been doing it. By the way, just kind of interesting, and not too long ago, I did a story about Amazon distribution center coming to Mills River. Well, today they had a story that we did that was in the Blue Ridge Now, and they said a Lowe's distribution center is what's being built along Banner Farm Road in Mills River. And so the town manager there, Daniel Cobb, has confirmed that the purpose of the land clearing right now at 342 Banner Farm Road was for that center. And that land is currently zoned for industrial usage. They say the construction is expected to be complete in the late summer or early fall of next year. That's according to Colette Industrial of Charlotte, who is developing that project. That's coming off of their website, according to Blue Ridge Now. The parcel, they say, is a little more than 10 acres, and the building will total about 90,720 square feet with 56 parking spaces and 31 trailer spaces. And they're saying a wide variety of job opportunities are available in that distribution center, ranging from hourly to management positions to maintenance and engineering roles, according to the Lowe's website. So, interesting. The architect for that project is out of Greenville, South Carolina. So that is going to be something that we're going to be looking at in the near future as well. So how about that? Two distribution centers, and it's coming our way. Interestingly enough. Well, on the not so hot news and not so good a deal, but the United States today went over the 7 million mark in COVID-19 cases, while around the world we're looking at 32 million, just about 32,387,000. So, and we are knocking at the door of 1 million global deaths at 985,200. 26. So that is something that, we hoped would slow down and things would change, but as we watched, has been kind of unique. There's only been one press conference this week on the North Carolina side, and that was to really announce the fact that there would be large venue at 7% occupancy. That's venues over 10,000. And if there's any more, they'll let us know next week as they continue to watch the numbers. Fortunately, I saw the hospitalization numbers go up from the 800s to the 900s again. And I'm just kind of looking. The today, the daily cases dropped from yesterday, but it was up yesterday from way down low. We're at 1101 and jumped clear up to 1836 yesterday, and then down to 1693. So we'll see. The hospitalizations had been flat, slight little uptick. We went from, let's see, we were at 886. 888, 912, 900, dropped to 902, and then it's up to 903. Let me see here. I believe this is going to give me the number I want. We were at 4.8% positive. We're at 5.2% positive tests. So that is where the North Carolina numbers stand. One of the good news stories I did today, in today, Transylvania County, recorded, no new cases whatsoever. And we're certainly grateful for that. And we'll continue to pray that will be the case as we look about and see what's going on. There was one other thing that, two other things I wanted to do. So let me just real quick check. And I just wanted to see if there was anything active in the tropics. And I've not seen this map like this, and so I'm not going to hold my breath. But there's no storm symbols. There's no little X's saying could be tropical cyclone activity not expected during the next 48 hours. Let's hope that hangs on to it. And, the rocky ride of the week was the ups and downs of the market. But today, it decided to end the week on a higher note. So that probably helped people with their weekend. The Dow Jones today was up 358.52, closing at 27,174, just about. The NASDAQ up 241.3 to 10,913.56. And the S&P was up 51.87. The biggest gainer was the NASDAQ, 2.26%. The second was the S&P at 1.6% rise, and the Dow was at 1.34. Rocky road for the Dow Jones this week, and certainly those that have their eye on it constantly probably had one of those rides that that they don't like to take during a week, but we are going to the weekend. We'll see. We're going to be going into a new month. That would be interesting. So we'll see how that go. And what's just exciting to see what the weeks bring anymore. You just kind of look and say, I wonder. So we'll see. But I think one of the big things that we can take from anything is that my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. So we'll stick to that which is eternal and that which we know lasts forever. Well, I want to spend just a little bit of the time. We talked about this yesterday. Looking at these signs that were for the Jews. And when he began to look at it to begin with, it was, you know, this is what it's going to be like, but we're not even close to where it's going to end. And so in doing so, in these signs, the signs were not given to us, by the way. The signs were given to them. Now, we do have signs of the times. 1 Timothy 4:1-5, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, and on it goes. And we know that there are the perilous times that Paul talked about, which means really, when he talks about perilous times, he's talking about exceedingly violent, fierce, horrific times. And in that, he said there was a whole list of things they would become during that evil time. They'd be lovers of their own self. That's selfish and self-centered. Think about that. Then that just leads naturally to the next one, covetousness. I want it. I want what they have. Give it to me. I'm fond of that. I like that. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Never seen a day and age like it. Unthankful. Never seen a day and age like it. Unholy, without natural affection. You know, think about giving up a child and leaving it in a trash can, or the things that we've seen. Just no natural affection anymore. Truce breakers, not willing to keep the peace or make the peace. False accusers. Incontinent, that means without self-control. Fierce, that means savage. Despisers of those that are good. That's the one that always perplexed me. You know, you do good, what you do is good, but they're despising what's good. They're traitors. They betray. They're unfaithful. They're heady. That means they're rash and reckless, impulsive. They're high-minded. They swell or inflate with pride. They're puffed up. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. They're just tremendously in love and fond of affection for lust and for pleasure, but not for God. They have a form of godliness. They have an appearance, but they deny the very power. Those are some of the things that they were talking about. But when Jesus was talking on the Olivet Discourse, I have put these into seven distinct passages of chapter 24 of Matthew, and then a little bit in Mark 13 and a little bit in Luke 21. So I'm going to give those to you in a very quick, succinct manner. And you can read these out of Matthew 24, where that Jesus was asked the question, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? He didn't answer all three questions. He answered two. And the first one is deception. And that's in the first few verses, 4, 5, and also verse 11. The deception of men claiming to be Christ, the deception of false prophets that will rise up and deceive many. Deception. There's a lot of deception today. There's a lot of sleight of hand in that deception, meaning they're deceiving by hiding and sliding things around. In verses 6 through 8, we see disruption. We see the wars and the rumors of war that must come to pass, with nation being in this, you know, against nation and kingdom against kingdom. We see disruption. Well, we've seen disruption of a new kind of war. It started in 2001 on our soil, and it's been around for a long time. And that disruption continues to go rampant around the world against the very things of Christianity and also the Jewish people who hold to one God, the Lord God. And then in verses 9 through 12, we see discrimination. We see the discrimination of prejudice against the Jews, God's chosen nation. They will be handed over and killed. Families will be against each other. It's an incredible passage there, verses 9 through 12. This discrimination that's against that. And by the way, the book of James gives a warning about that. To have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with respect to persons. And don't say someone sit here in a really good place because you're dressed the way a person has money dresses and you don't look like you could give us a dime. So you sit here under my seat. That's not God's plan. In fact, if you read the Gospels and listen to the Jesus, he's saying to them many times, do for people who cannot do a thing back. You do for them, even though there's not one thing they could do back. Not one thing. And that to me is a very interesting situation. One thing for you, but you can do something for them. Verses 13 and 14 in Matthew 24, we see a declaration. And it's called a declaration of endurance, abiding patiently to the end. The gospel of the kingdom will be preached one more time, and that will not be for those who have heard. No, no. Mm-mm. Yeah, you'll get a strong delusion. You'll believe the lie, but there will be a declaration. The Jews will come back in to belief, and there will be a lot of witnesses. In fact, the Bible makes it clear there will be 144,000 witnesses, 12,000 of every tribe. I don't know how some of these religions say what they say when that is one that is a clear, distinct, complete, hard to misunderstand Bible set of verses. I mean, it just flat out says of the Jews, there'll be 144,000 and of the tribe of, and it starts out with the 12 tribes, one by one, 12,000 of the tribe of Judah, 12,000 of the tribe of Benjamin. It just goes through. So we then get to verses 15 to 31, and now things are getting dangerous. Danger is number 6 or number 5. Danger, which brings up the things that will happen in this danger point, like desolation, ruined, Up to this point, the signs have been general. Now it says, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, you go back to Daniel 9 and 11, chapter 11, verse 31, and chapter 12, verse 11, then it's time to flee, for great tribulation such as never been will come, and people will say they are Christ, but they're not. And the Bible talks about a place prepared for Israel to flee to, which is another whole study. This study is deep. We could park here. This is not what this is intended for. It's just to show you that these are signs that are occurring while we're gone. And, of course, it talks about the Lord will come like lightning to gather Israel and bring the battle of all battles together, the battle of Armageddon, which then brings us to the sixth set there. We see description in verses 32 to 41. Here is the description of the fig tree. Now, the parable depicts that the Jews can know the time is nigh when they see these things happening. Just like there was an example in the days of Noah. They could see that the things were drawing nigh based on the things that were happening. And the word generation, this generation shall not pass, is not a time factor so much as it is a group of people. That there will be a group of people. And I've seen, honestly, I have seen incredible books written about which generation. How long a generation is. And I've seen people define it as 40, 50, 60, and 70 years. And the truth is, it's very hard to define in that manner. I've also, one book, it was 88 Reasons Why Jesus Will Come in 1988. The other was called When Will Jesus Come? Now, this person took Bible and mathematics and the number 38, which he got out of a lot of verses, and started multiplying and adding and all this uniqueness. And he came up with the date that the Lord was going to come back. Now, anytime someone comes with a date, and I'll be honest with you, I was, you know, the date that the Lord was going to come was in 1977. It was going to be in November of 1977. Well, July of 1977, I was 21 years old. I'm a single person. I'm traveling with preaching, and I'm traveling with Awana. And I had been a counselor at a camp, met a family. The family that I met lived up in upstate New York in the Rochester, Spencerport, Buffalo area. They had me come up and preach for their preacher. And that's where I found this book, was when I was up there and read it. Now, I had bought tickets because the young man in their family who was in my cabin was a Miami Dolphins fan. And that just happened to be at the decade when they were winning a lot. In fact, it was their championship year, I believe. And he picked the date for the Lord to come back, the date that we were going to be at that ball game. I thought that was interesting. But then, that was kind of interesting. He had an alternate date, just in case he missed it by his mathematics. He had an alternate date. No, that is not what the fig tree is all about. It's not saying that you can know the date. No man knows the day or hour. We don't know when the rapture is coming, and the Jews don't know how these things and date time are going to, but they know when it's getting near. There's a description that lets you see. You and I have seen the description of what the Lord said the world would be like at the end of his church. In fact, the church at Ephesus represents the post-apostolic church, meaning at the end of the apostles' life, where the apostles are completely off the scene. The last one to pass off was John. John wrote the last books of the Bible. When you see the Gospel of John, it's the latest written of the four Gospels. And John is not called a synoptic gospel because 93% of the Gospel of John is unique to the Gospel of John. And 7% is in the other books. Now, the other ones are called synoptic because there's a lot of stories that are repeated in those books, and they're from a different perspective. So you put them all together, you get a whole lot of information. But we do see that the first thing the church, after the apostles were passing off the scene and they no longer had that early crowd of apostles that could bring the words, like speak the truth in love, like Paul said, that they still had the doctrine and they still had the teaching and things, but they didn't have their first love. It was all about the work and the service, and it wasn't about the Lord. He said, I got somewhat against you. You've left your first love. This is not a love thing. This is not something that flows out of your relationship with me. This is what you do. You just do this. This is what you think the church is. My friend, you can't work for him and do anything unless you have a relationship with him. And that relationship will be the reason that drives you to work for him. It'll be a totally different motivation. Therefore, it'll have a totally different result. And therefore, it'll have a totally different reward. So think about that. Now, sign number 7, the last one in Matthew 24, is verses 42 to 51. We see disposition. The disposition or the outlook. Watch. Be ready. Okay? Be ready like you knew a thief was coming into your house. Be ready. Jesus is coming in like manner. I described it. I've told you how bad it's going to be. Get ready for it. It's coming. Then when we get to Matthew 25, he gives the parable of the five foolish and the five wise virgins. And what we find is you better be ready, because if you have to go take care of things, well, you might not be around when the Lord returns. And the sad thing is they became so wicked, according to these verses, that every imagination was only evil. Every form of thought that they had was only evil. Before we head out and pray, you've heard me say this 1,000 times. Don't look at the signs of Israel. That's for them. But keep your eyes on Israel. Keep your eyes in the Middle East and your eye in the Bible, and you will find that things are coming together. The Middle East peace process, the Palestinians, the Hamas, the this uptick in the fighting the Muslims that are in that militant realm, the statehood that they won in 1948, the battles they won in 1956, 1964, the Six-Day War, 1967, 1973, 1982, which lasted 3 years, 1987, 2000, and on it goes. The European Common Market, then the European Economic Council, then the European Union, the G20, the G8 nations, the EU, the currency, Iraq, Iran, the near nations, oil, inflation, currency issues, cashless society, one world movement, collapsing governments. You get the picture? Don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged. Look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. Father, we thank you for the privilege we've had to be here. We thank you, Lord, for your gracious, gracious love. We thank you, Lord, for your steadfastness. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, that you're coming again and your promises are true, true. One day we are going home. I pray, Lord, we'll keep our eyes where they need to be, on Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, is set down on the right hand of God. Pray we'll have a great weekend. We will be in the way we meet at our respective houses of worship, and we'll be excited and be praying for our preachers and pastors for the message of the hour. We'll thank you for all that you do. In the blessed name of Jesus, amen and amen. This is Pastor Walton filling in for Pastor Barton, praying you have a wonderful weekend.